Okay. Welcome, everyone. This is February 17th, and you are watching at home the Public Works Advisory Board meeting. We have a quorum. In fact, we're all here. So we'll get started. We will start with a moment of silence. Thank you. Anybody have any announcements? No? Seeing none, we'll move on. And we have no presentations. And we have no members of the public here, so we will open and close public comment quickly. Move on to the consent calendar. Everybody had a chance to look at the minutes of the January 20th meeting?
Yes.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes as stated.
All right. And a second by Stu. All right. Any discussion? No. Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. Director's report. It was a very good report, and I will start. Does anybody have questions? We can start with Debbie if you have any questions.
Not at this time.
Okay. Jan.
Just a little one. It's on the stormwater, storm preparation part of the staff report where it says, if a property owner wants to remove trees and debris from the portion of the creek that is on their property, it is the property owner's responsibility to acquire the required permit from Department of Fish and Wildlife and any other necessary agency. My question was, do you need a permit to clean up the debris, or is this a permit to move a tree that might cause debris?
You don't need a permit to remove trash and debris. It's if you need to remove live vegetation, basically, out of the creek channel.
In anticipation of debris.
Correct.
Okay. Okay, thank you. That's it.
Okay. I have a few quick questions. One I noticed, and it picked up, I think, in the bicycle report, talking about angle parking along Market Street. And I wasn't aware you guys were going to do that. But I did notice coming down Market Street, it looks like you put in perpendicular parking. And it looks like it was recently striped for that purpose. Or has that been there for a while?
We did that maybe 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. It's been on the Beach Street specific plan since the early 90s that we were supposed to do that. And I'm not sure why we never have, but it was basically council's direction to complete that work with the objectives from last year. So we did.
Oh, okay.
The Market Street section we're talking about angled parking on was on the other side of Morro Bay Boulevard.
Oh, okay.
For angled parking along
between, what is it, Pacific, towards the Pacific.
Correct.
Side.
And then there was we did a staff report to council a couple weeks ago about we had an objective to implement the measures that were in our 2008 parking management plan. But before we implemented those measures, since it was a 2008 plan, we brought those back to council, and they wanted us to reconsider what council had already approved back in 2008 for that angled parking.
Oh,
so
okay.
We'll be reconsidering that.
Have you had any complaints since it's gone in with the
The perpendicular parking, I haven't received any complaints in our office.
Well, it adds a lot more parking to that street, and I think it's probably a good idea. The other thing I noticed was at the Pacific and Main Street, where we talked about that a few months back, you have gone in and did all the crosswalks in that location, and looks like, and I assume that was recently striped.
Yes,
also.
It was. It's about the same day as Market Street perpendicular.
Was there other places around town where it got that kind of?
No, that was the only two.
Place. Okay, I just happened to drive by them today and happened to notice them, so it did pick up on my radar. The second thing was you included regarding the new WRF facility. And it is more for my own edification because, as you're aware, I sit on the RIFCAC committee. I missed that joint session that occurred, and this is more just to pick your brain a little bit regarding it. and it's going back to the roof cack on March 1st to make a determination whether to go to the Rigetti property. Is that how it was left?
It was basically to make a recommendation to council whether to whether the Rigetti property would be the to switch the to the preferred location.
Oh, okay. So once they do that, then the city council will move forward.
Correct.
On the selection. I think that's it for me on the director's report.
David?
Just very quick, based also on the Pacific and Main Street intersection and the striping there, is the green painting going to be put in soon? Because what I saw was just some white line work done.
Yeah, it's just the ladder crosswalk or the high visibility crosswalks, yeah. And then the diagonally hashed bulb outs there.
Right.
That was what was agreed on with council to do there. And then at the green paint, well, it's looking like we're going to do up at San Jacinto, basically between probably Cedar and Main Street there. It's a problem area for those that cycle to Del Mar Elementary to navigate that intersection.
Right.
And sometimes even us adults have a hard time getting
it's hard navigating a vehicle at that intersection sometimes. Okay, thanks very much.
I just wanted to follow up on, since David and Stephen are talking about Pacific, two questions. How long does that striping last? I mean, is that like a 10-year guaranteed paint job? And do they only put down one coat?
That's waterborne latex paint. It might last 2 years if we're lucky.
Yeah.
Waterborne paint is a regular maintenance item.
It is.
You need to paint it.
So this is what you're. This is expected.
It's expected.
Okay.
Yeah. It won't last that long.
Okay.
It even lasts shorter amount of time the closer you get to the water because you pick up a little sand there,
okay.
And it. So we generally will use thermoplastic striping on the Embarcadero. This was kind of an experiment with those painted bulb outs, which, based on the vertical geometry, they don't show up as well as when you're looking down at an aerial photo of what they will look like. So we'll see how well we'll continue to observe that intersection there and probably do some counts and speed surveys.
Chris.
No comments except for the nice thing about the paint wearing quickly, we're going to see where people are actually driving and whether it's actually doing any work.
Stu.
I'm ready. The Pacific and Main, did we talk about putting a cross traffic does not stop sign there too? A little sign like it's one block up, they've got it, and two blocks up.
I think we had talked about that, yeah, but we haven't put that sign in.
Okay, so that's still on the
to-do we'll list. Continue to evaluate that intersection.
Yeah. The city is initiating some changes in the website that will cause, I would say, a multifold increase in the number of requests and so on as I read. Are they going to be putting that information on a spreadsheet? And is that something that we could have a report on once in a while? Like we had 50 calls about potholes and we had 200 calls for we need a stop sign on this and that and so on, something to review?
I think once we fully implement that program, so this is the first phase of it. This is the request tracker. My Moro Bay, depending on which app you have on your phone or if you're doing it on the computer. But we're also doing an asset management work order system that will ultimately be the back end for that has the ability to better pull reports out of that. So we're looking to implement that, be fully implemented by July of this year. So we'll be able to get that information pulled out of that database readily. Right now, it doesn't facilitate reports that well, but with CityWorks, we'll be able to pull those reports very easily.
Great. So we're going to be using a SQL database with all that so we can...
Correct.
We can write queries for whatever we want on any kind of thing.
Yeah, we're working on the workflow right now for that SQL database.
Oh, great. Great. The under collection systems capital projects... we're spending some money there for a lift station, number one, for a pump and so on. Is that lift station going to be a permanent fixture that will be useful with our new water reclamation facility?
Yeah, lift station one will remain there. It takes kind of that end of town that drains down to it and pumps it up over the little hill that'll go to where the big lift station will end up being, somewhere near the existing wastewater treatment plant with the new project.
Great. Okay. It looks like on spring cleanup, that's something that we contract with waste management for, I would imagine.
Yes.
And that's going to be a 3 foot by 3 foot by 9 foot, or two cubic feet, or
right.
two cubic yards. Information in that kind of the configuration doesn't make any difference. And my neighbors mentioned that a while back. And so if we take what we've got and cut it up so that it will fit in something that's similar to that size, they'll pick it up.
Correct.
And we need to notify them that we've got it on the curb.
I'm not sure if we need to notify them or not. I'll check into that.
No.
I don't think so.
They just put it out. You just put it out there and they'll take it.
Yeah.
I wanted to also mention this because I'd like the folks at home to know about this when it's coming up, and maybe you want to share that with us. And what Stuart was talking about, of course, was the size of the trash that you may put out and will be picked up for free on, I think it's the collection day after...
Right.
After the garage.
I've been checking on this because I'm decluttering. And it's April 2nd and 3rd is the citywide garage sale, I believe.
Okay.
And so the following weekend is a cleanup. And I was told that I was allowed to drag 12 garbage bags to the curb. But if I had a refrigerator or any large appliances or a couch or anything that was unusually large, that I needed to call them. And there is sometimes a small fee attached, like $15, to have them haul something that's particularly large away. So you do need to let them know if you have something that's really large.
Right. So everybody got that. If you are doing spring cleaning, be ready for the week of April 11th to the 15th, depending on when your pickup day is. Did you have anything else, Stuart?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It looks like I did call Waste Management and talk to them about this because I've got an old rusty rack and a bunch of other things, and they wanted $54 to haul the old rusty rack off, and they wanted a little chair like one of these. That's $45 to haul off, and it's expensive to do it. So I said, what if it's cut up and down in size? And he did suggest that I wait till the period that we've got set up to bring it in and put it out on the curb. And we don't have to bag it, but it does have to be, you know.
That size, yeah.
And you've got to call them. If it's something heavy or something else is going on, you've got to call them and let them know what's going on.
Because they'll pick up white goods in a different vehicle. It's not the standard trash truck. White goods are like refrigerators, washing and dryers, that type of thing. So,
old chairs and stuff like that. Yeah, yeah. The Choro stream gauge. What's a stream gauge?
It's a, simply explained, it's a way to measure flow in the stream. So... the plan is to create a regular section in Choro Creek with concrete with a flume in there so that when the water flows through there, at certain flow rates, it'll be certain heights on that flume, and there'll be a ultrasonic gauge that bounces off the, like radar, bounces off the water surface, tells us what that elevation is. That can be correlated with a rating curve, which you develop to rate that section so you know what the flow is. It's required by our water rights permit to use the Choro Valley wells.
Great. The nutmeg replacement tank... What size is that tank going to be?
A million gallons.
It's a million.
Yeah.
Okay. I understood they were a dollar a gallon to build tanks of that size.
Probably a little more than that.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay. I just thought I'd throw that out.
Yeah, it's, we're looking at probably a reinforced concrete tank up there instead of the steel tanks, because one of the issues is visual, so we'll need to bury that tank into the top of the hill there so it can't be seen.
And then, of course, if we do end up with the Rigetti property, that's part of the
yes.
deal there, isn't it? So
we'll be paying either paying a lease payment to ourselves, or we won't be paying a lease payment at all.
To the city. That area up there is more than just the size of the tank then, isn't it? It's half an acre or something?
It's about an acre that we lease up there.
Does that include the telephone towers, or is that separate?
No, that's not on the – I don't think that's on the Rigetti property. That's on another piece of parcel of property.
Some of the acronyms I'm still not familiar with. What's a UWMP?
Urban Water Management Plan. Yes, I promised I would cut back on the acronyms,
you
too.
You mentioned that last time.
Yes, I know, and I didn't. Or I didn't edit other people's work to take out the acronyms.
I have to say staff is really doing a good job with the reports and numbering the pages and everything. You can follow what's going on. Smart irrigation controllers. Do we use those at the parks?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
So but we've turned, for the most part, have turned those off because we did get a little bit of rain.
We're not going to talk about bikes right now. That's going to be a separate report, right?
No, that's part of the director's. It's an attachment to the director's report.
Do we license bicycles?
Does the city license bicycles?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if we do or not, if the police department does or not. I think you can license a bicycle through DMV, but I'm not sure if the city does a registration program.
My neighbor's got an expensive one, and it's $2,000. And I imagine some of those bikes are quite expensive, but where I'm going with that is there might be a little source of revenue with license fees on bicycles. If one of those gets stolen, then
I'd make sure that I knew what the serial number was. It's on the bottom of the bottom bracket. Make sure you write that down at least with a $2,000 bicycle or more. I think that's the entry level for a race bike.
Road is it
bike.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. It says bike lane striping with required pavement repair. With the striping, of course, it's a chicken and the egg. We have to have the chicken first to produce the egg. So we have to fix the streets to do any of the striping in some places.
Yes, it doesn't make sense to stripe then. Do pave over the top of it, then stripe again. So I think that's what the bike committee is asking for there is, as we do our pavement repair, to make sure that we do the appropriate striping. And one of the places they're specifically concerned about is Atascadero Road between the high school and the new bridge to get a fog line in there and share the road signs.
You know, part of that's in there now, isn't it?
Up to the western entrance to the high school, and then beyond that, it becomes really rough. I ride that every day at lunch. Becomes really rough pavement, and there's an old faded fog line there.
It looks like we're going to need to do a lot of maintenance on our streets and so on. And I read that the federal government has got all sorts of plans, and so does the state. Would it be possible to know what their share is in advance, or do you have to identify everything and then submit it and then find out what they're going to pay and then move on?
I could probably almost guarantee you that the state and federal government is going to pay nothing to the cities for their local streets and roads.
Yeah.
That money will be going to highways and congestion management projects rather than local streets and roads. I just came from the SLOCOG. The San Luis Obispo Council of Governments are a local MPO for transportation, and we spent about 2 hours talking about becoming a self-help county, which is we would tax our Santa Barbara County is our closest example of a self-help county. They have a half-cent countywide tax that is dedicated toward transportation projects. And if you look at the local streets and roads in Santa Barbara County, there is a big difference between those streets and roads there and in San Luis Obispo County.
Yeah, and they raise revenue through gas taxes and other sources.
They have Measure A.
Measure A, which is a local option sales tax that is 100% dedicated to transportation projects. And you will more likely than not see something on the November ballot in San Luis County for that.
Yeah, perhaps it should be. He makes a comment in here about Holland, and I did spend some time there a few years ago. And in Amsterdam, and yeah, they're right, that's a bicycle-friendly community over there. It's also not very many, you know, if you take a look at the total number of miles of highway there and roads there, there isn't much because they ride the bullet trains back and forth with mm-hmm. a lot of things. And but it does reduce that. I just wanted to make that comment that people are used to riding bicycles there, and, of course, we need our roads for transportation here, and I wouldn't want to see us forsake our roads for bicycles. And we still need roads. So that was one of the comments there. And they don't drive very fast there also, like we do here. That's all I have.
All right, thank you. I just wanted to have you let anybody who's watching know that there still are some water conservation rebates available. Is that correct?
Yes, there are. We have rebates for rain barrels, cash for grass, so removing lawn area, smart irrigation controllers, which we haven't had too many people take advantage of, irrigation retrofit, again, not too many, and then toilet and washing machine rebates are still out there. And those rebate forms are on our website in the water conservation section. You can download the form to fill out. If you have any questions, Ms. Damaris Hansen in our office would be the contact
right,
to
great.
Get that information.
Thank you. And just for the sake of anybody who might be watching us, could you just very briefly explain where you're at on the new water reclamation facility? Because I know that there has been a change, and if you could just explain
sure.
what's happened briefly,
sure.
that would be great.
So in the last couple months, we've been working with both the Rancho Colina property owner and the Rigetti property owner. The Rancho Colina property owner has a desire, after consultation with the family, not to have the wastewater treatment plant in the first area that we looked at, but moving it to the west a little bit in, up on the slope. And that caused us to look at the other choice, the other high choice in, for WRF facilities, which was the Rigetti site. So we looked at that. We have now entered into an agreement, an option to purchase the Rigetti property. So if we do need that, we have that locked down. If you saw the last council meeting, Steve McElvain, Rancho Colina, made a statement to council that he's still there. He's not going anywhere. And if something happens, he's still willing to talk about his property. He's willing to talk about if we need easements through the property to serve further up the valley for easements, that property is available.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Good. And so the decision will be made soon.
We'll be going to our Water Reclamation Facility Citizens Advisory Committee, their first meeting in March, which I think is March 1st.
March 1st.
It'll be 3 p.m. in this room. We'll look at any additional information that we have, discuss those options in great detail, because I think the report was distributed maybe the evening of the last joint meeting. So now the committee's had a couple weeks to digest that information. They'll be making a recommendation to council, who will be acting on that at their next meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Can I ask something real quick? Could you throw a copy of that report in the basket over at Public Works? I didn't get one because I was out of town for
sure.
The last meeting. So I have it when I go to the next meeting.
Yes, and the slides from that presentation are in the PWAB packet, too.
Oh, okay.
So you have those.
So is this the report that
This
you...
is the summary of the report.
Oh, okay.
And then the full report I can make available.
I'd appreciate it if you'd leave me one. Thanks.
I'm sorry, I don't know about it.
It's generally on Monday nights.
But yeah, that's what I thought. But I had a flyer that said tonight.
No problem.
Yeah.
Or not.
I just have one last question for you, Rob.
Sure.
And that has to do with the status of the pavement management plan. I know we've talked about that sometime last year, and are you working on it, or are we going to get to see it?
Yes, we're working on that, and council has an objective in this year's objectives to do a street summit again this year, so we'll bringing that to PWAB. I would say in April or May's meeting take a look at. It'll be timely because of the county effort that's going on. And at my home, I should have brought it with me, but we recently got a flyer from a city of Atascadero, and they have a very nice format for sharing with the public their version of our Measure Q for how they've done on their street. So we'll steal that format to take a look at.
Great. Thank you. All right. So we just need to accept. Is that right?
Correct.
No action
no
required.
Action required.
Can I ask one question? Could we add the future agenda items again? It used to be on the earlier, you know, at the end of it, usually had a line item there for future agenda items. Whether there are any or not, it gives it gives the members an opportunity to add the, you know, that we can
to
have scheduled for a future.
For requesting those items, just remind the board.
Yeah, could please.
Right.
Thank you.
They may not get on
agenda
if they're not part of the
work program. I follow that.
Yeah.
While I'm on the top of a work program, council will more likely than not be passing their objectives at the next council meeting. Out of that, we should schedule a meeting probably at the next PWAB meeting to go over those objectives, the ones that relate to public work, so that we make sure we get all those objectives on our work plan so we can schedule those out. And I think that'll help with making sure that we stay on task and we have plenty of things to talk about on the future agenda.
It was just brought to my attention. I know you used to have it as a line item on that regularly.
Right.
Very seldom we used it.
Yeah. Well, and that's a great idea, Rob. I like it. I think that'll help us, too, to know what's coming and all be on the same page. So that's great. Okay. Let's move on to item B2, discussion of the solid waste collection in public areas.
And like I mentioned earlier, Ms. Burlingame was unable to make today's meeting, so I did review this staff report, but I was not the primary author of it. So we do not have a presentation for it. In a nutshell, I'll summarize it first, and then we can go in as much detail as we want to. We have had problems with, especially during high tourist season, in keeping up with trash in the downtown and out at the Rock area. The we looked at trash can placement and our collection schedule, and we have some recommendations that we are going to implement and take your recommendations into consideration. This is an operational item, so we really don't need to take this to council for their approval. I don't think council will probably have much input on where trash cans get placed, which corner. So in the downtown, we have a variety of pickup schedules. So from once a week to three times a week. We want to change that schedule to be more regular and then to have a regular placement of trash cans in the downtown. And that is... If you look at the packet page 38 and 39, 38 in the blue location shows their existing placement, and 39 shows the proposed locations of those trash cans and recycling containers. So some of the issues in the downtown, there's fewer empty storefronts, increase in the number of special events along Morro Bay Boulevard. Saturday Farmers Market is now a regular feature on Main Street. And so those two exhibits show the locations, and we're going to increase the number of cans to 24 from the 14 that are there. And then also increase the, especially in the area of Farmers Market, from 5 to 7, and then adjust the collection frequency from 1 day to 3 days a week throughout the year, and then an extra pickup on the city holidays, and then an extra pickup for the special events that happen in the downtown. Any questions on the, maybe we'll take one kind of segment at a time. Any questions or comment on kind of the downtown trash?
Well, we'll start down here this time since and go this way. So, Stu, do you want to start?
Downtown trash, when I first moved here 6 years ago, I was part of Morro Bay Beautiful. And we got involved in those cans in downtown. And having the cans painted and making them attractive and doing those kinds of things, and maybe even having a little contest where you can go out and find a little picture that's on a can, and if you find six of those, you can get an award and that kind of things. I would trust that we would make whatever cans we put in, they're going to be the concrete ones. Is that what we're talking about?
The aggregate concrete cans, yeah, they don't tend to migrate very easily.
In high wind. And they do something like that, so they would be uniform in what we're doing. That's why they're $800 a can.
Correct. And so, council did authorize with the mid-year $10,000 for additional trash cans.
Yeah, they're taking it out of the additional tax that we
TOT revenue.
Yeah. Those cans, when they fill up, do they dump them someplace? Does staff dump them someplace and then they collect it, or do they? Is it each individual can? How do they pick those?
So those trash cans are emptied by Morro Bay Garbage Company on a regular pickup basis. So as they're coming through town picking up commercial garbage, they also empty those trash cans along with that. So that's why we needed to increase the frequency of pickup to make sure that we don't have overflowing cans.
Yeah, we had the... when I was involved in Cayucas, we had overflowing garbage cans down there, and we ended up putting in some large bins, and we would dump in those bins when it got really bad during an event and so on. I just wonder if that's going to be done, too, if we're going to have additional capacity available, if we have a bike parade or we have a 4th of July parade or something that overloads those cans. Has there been any thought given to a dumpster that we would dump into?
So the downtown trash cans, that really hasn't been an issue except during special events. So we're going to add the option of additional pickup during those special events. It's more efficient to have the garbage company do it than to have additional staffing do that during those special events. So we would... increase that frequency. Also, during a special event, typically they'll provide additional trash containers that the event sponsor is responsible for also. with probably the exception of the farmer's market, I don't think they're providing any additional trash capacity.
Do we charge the vendors at the farmer's market for those booths?
The city does not charge for those booths at farmer's market. We issued a planning permit through Planning Commission, a use permit for them to use the public right-of-way.
I know they do charge in slow for that farmer's market.
The Downtown Association, the business improvement district that they have downtown, I think, not the city of SLO doesn't charge, but the business improvement district charges.
Yeah, yeah, and we don't do that.
We don't have a business improvement district in Morro Bay.
Okay. That's pretty much all I have. Thanks.
I like the additional placement, and it looks like you moved them around quite a bit as well to make them a little more efficient. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, we tried for more regular spacing. It appears that they're randomly spaced now. I'm not sure if there's any pattern to it.
Yeah.
Any questions? David?
Going along with what Chris is saying, I think the layout makes more sense, more consistent at intersections with the garbage cans. And I also think it's great that you've extended the area. Like before, Market Street didn't have any cans
right. From
the city, and now it's included farther east on Morro Bay Boulevard, as well as farther north on Main Street. So it certainly covers our downtown area more efficiently. In regard to pickup during events, have they also considered a time frame for those pickups? Because with obviously an event and more garbage being produced, there's more congestion with vehicles and humans, and it would be tough for the garbage truck to make its way down Main Street at noon in the middle of everything to pick up more cans. Have they thought about a time frame?
The goal would be to not pick up during the actual event itself, but to start the event with empty containers. So
hitting them the night before and the night after.
Early the morning before typically is when the trash company would come through town.
I just asked mainly because I know regular residential pickup seems to be a little erratic at the time of when you put your cans out and when they finally get picked up. So I was curious if they were pinpointing time frames a little more efficiently for this.
Usually the day before the event or immediately thereafter. We've run into that problem with farmers market is the pickup was a couple days before farmers market and then a couple days after. So they had a chance to get very full during that time period.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay. I just have a few quick questions because I'm not totally familiar. Is it a problem in the city right now of overflowing trash cans?
It's certain locations and at certain times.
Oh, okay.
As we get busier, they overflow more.
Oh.
We'll get to the main kind of the problem area is has been down at the Rock on special events. So
I guess it leads me to my next question. I see in the downtown you're talking of going to 24 instead of 14. You're almost doubling the cans, which basically doubles your storage. So I guess the question as an engineer is, does the frequency need to be more when you have double the storage of trash? I assume the trash, you're going to have the same volume of trash you've had every year coming up to this date. To me, it'd be either you don't add more cans and you pick up more often, or the other alternative would be to add the cans and not have to pick up as often. But I'm hearing that you wish to do both. And like I said, I do not know the problem. I haven't seen it personally. So it just begs the question when I saw you were adding cans plus, wishing to add more.
Yeah, I think this will be an evaluation year once we do that because we have had overflowing. And then what tends to happen is the recycling containers next to them become the de facto trash cans because people want to do something with it, but the trash can is full, so the recycling container becomes the trash can.
Well, on a cost side for me, I rather pay for the extra cans as opposed to extra frequency because it's a one-time payment of the cans, where when you're doing it based on additional pickups. You do pay once you get over a certain number, as I read in the report. So, you know, I'm trying to, like I said, I don't know the problems.
And the garbage company will be looking for a contract extension. So we're looking to negotiate for additional pickups as part of that contract extension.
Okay. And I think what my comments here also reflect what you're doing at The Rock. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Jan.
Okay. Right now, we get 30 public cans at no charge.
Correct.
And if they're going to increase the cans, it'll still be... I mean, is this for the whole city, or is this just for Main Street, the downtown area? Because on each one, there was an option to increase the collection days, also increase the price. But how many pickups do you get for this free pickup? How many times a week?
That's not real clear in the contract. So it could be up to... Some of those cans get picked up six times a week, and they're free cans. Some of them get picked up three times a week, and they are free cans. You designated the cans and the number of pickups. So with the new contract, we're going to clarify the frequency and get that in writing this time. And we're going to negotiate for additional cans.
Yeah, we read that. But also it said that during this whole report, it was talking about the times that you need it are more during special events or city holidays.
Yes.
But yet the staff recommendation is to increase it, the collection frequency, to 3 days a week.
Year round,
throughout the year. But when it's negotiated, because right now it says that's $11,475 a year. That's why I wanted to know how many times does it get picked up now, but you said it's not really clear. How can you decide, how do they know that it's going to be $11,000 if they don't really know what the contract is saying?
So this would be...
Over and above.
We know each can, how many times it gets picked up. It's just not clear on the free cans... We have a, let me see if I can explain this. So we have a number of cans in the city. 30 of them are free. They've been designated, and they have associated pickups with them. That's all factored into the current cost right now.
Okay.
We looked at, right now, the trash cans in the downtown during the off-season are picked up maybe once a week. Maybe twice a week during the on season. Some of them are picked up two times a week or three times a week. Change that to a regular frequency so we get a regular pickup of the trash cans in the downtown. And then also negotiate with the garbage company to add additional free cans.
So then my next question, when we figure out how much you're adding, and is this... option A only pertaining to downtown, that it's going to be $11,475 more, or is that the whole cost?
That's downtown.
That's only the downtown.
Correct.
And so it'll be, okay. So the Rock and the Embarcadero are all negotiated separately.
They're all in one bill, but this would be the cost if we were to apportion it to each different area. We're not talking about adding additional cans in the Embarcadero or Rock area.
Oh, I thought you said that.
No, they were taking some away.
I think we're going to relocate some existing cans that we have on the Embarcadero, more efficiently move them around.
And it's
says increased service locations from to 14 from 10. So I was assuming there's four extra cans going in there.
Those are in places that don't get any trash use now. There's a couple in North Morro Bay that never have any trash in them that we're going to move down to the
Embarcadero. Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Okay, I understand.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So then if you can renegotiate, you're hoping when you do this renegotiation where you can get 40 cans, that then the price, instead of being $11,000, will go down to $1,000.
Correct.
So, okay. Okay, I think I... Okay.
Debbie.
Well, who knew trash should be so complicated? So are you saying that
every area and every trash can has its own life. I mean, it's not the whole city does just this. For different areas, for different cans, for different locations, for different things, it's all in that contract, but it's all different. It's not this. So the downtown is one thing, and the Rock is another thing, and the Embarcadero is another thing.
It's even more complicated
than
that.
See, that's what I'm saying. Different so I don't even want to go there.
Different cans in the downtown have different pickup
frequencies.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. It's like having a huge family. You just don't know what everybody's doing.
And it's not all spelled out in the contract. It's what's morphed. It's what's on our bill. So somebody called the garbage company and said, we need to change this from one pickup to two pickups. But we never memorialized it in contractual language. It just came on our bill.
Well, I'm just going to say I'm glad you're addressing it and getting it straightened out. But I'm fine with the downtown. I have some issues with the Morro Creek area. So when we get to that, I'll say
okay.
something.
Okay. Embarcadero is another kind of easier area. Uh-huh. So we're adding four cans to the Embarcadero, but we're moving them from locations, like I said, in North Morro Bay. And then there's one, I think, where there used to be a grocery store on Harbor Street that needed a trash can there, but there's really no trash there anymore. So we're relocating that. So we'll end up with four additional cans on the Embarcadero. They're typically 6 days a week during the high season, 3 days a week during the low season. On Sundays, there's a harbor maintenance person that checks and makes sure that there's no overflowing and takes care of that during the busy Sundays. So really, Embarcadero's hasn't been a trash issue. Our real trash problem area is the Rock. So we thought we had solved it with the big bellies, the automatically compacting trash cans. It's probably not the best location to put a mechanical device in such a harsh environment because they're breaking down is what's happening. And if we refurbish them, they're not going to be put back at the Rock. They're going to be moved to in parks, more sheltered areas. Because while they have paid for themselves, now they need to be repaired. And if we're going to repair them, we're not going to put them back out at the Rock because it just doesn't work. So a couple options for the Rock is to not replace the trash cans along the parking area, but to use the dumpsters near the restroom that have already slots in them for people to put recyclables and garbage. And then on those concrete pads, put benches out there. And then the other option would be to add trash cans out there. What we were hoping for is to replace those with benches so people have a nice place to sit and it wouldn't be next to a garbage can. And they could walk their trash over to the dumpsters. So comments on the...
Well, since I didn't ask questions before, I trust staff to know where to put trash cans, and I'm assuming that you monitor that situation and you kind of know if what isn't being used, you should move it.
Yes.
So I really do trust staff on that. My real question has to do with the bottom line costs of all of this, and I know there were different options and different costs presented, but no bottom line. And I realize that there are contingencies because you may be able to negotiate some of this with the garbage company. You may be able to get a grant or for the recycling cans. So you really don't know at this point in time what the bottom line cost
right.
will be.
And then once we know that cost, it'll have to be included in the budget.
For next year,
yeah.
But so at this point, really what you may want to do is to decide how you want to spend that $10,000, which you can spend right now.
Right.
And so that would be my recommendation, to come up with what are the priorities for of all of these various options, what are the ones that are most important to do right now that might be most beneficial?
And basically, with the mid-year budget we were given direction on how to spend that money.
Yeah, but really just 10,000 at this point.
Right, correct, for additional containers.
Cans, yeah. Right. Yeah, okay. All right. Just to clarify what kind of a recommendation we might want to make, are there any other questions about the placement?
Not necessarily about the placement, but do we have a yardstick, so to speak, on what they're picking up now? Do they tell us how much volume we have?
I'm not sure that that is measured because it's combined with the commercial garbage. Yeah. So It's difficult to when they go to dump at the landfill, they weigh the truck, but it's also combined with all the commercial garbage that they pick up too. So we don't get a separate truck for city containers.
So they could tell us we need four times the amount of pickup to keep those clean, and we pay for it anyway.
Yes.
And that's where I'm going with that. It'd be nice to have a yardstick someplace, a guesstimate or an estimate, and so we can measure that. And they're taking the recyclable waste, and they're going to start running those through a digester. Have they got one out there yet?
No. They need basically commitments from all the cities in the county to extend their contracts because they need a guaranteed waste stream before they can before the company that's going to build and run the digester will come and do it. They need a guaranteed income basically before they will do that.
So they get no free diesel until all this gets negotiated and we're moving along. It still would be nice to have some sort of a measure. We know what the commercial institutions are doing because they're paying for it, and they wouldn't pay for it if they weren't filling that thing pretty full. And the difference would be what they're picking up in the streets. You'd think there'd be a way to measure that somewhere so we can see, here's a special event. We used four times as much, capacity. So that one thing I'd be interested in looking at.
Thank you. Any other questions at this point?
I had on the Morro Rock Creek area. If you wanted me to.
If you would like me to proceed to page 41, the aerial view of the alternative one can locations. And I actually had a citizen come up to me on the Embarcadero and complain about the one that is just before the bridge. And she says, it's always full and it's always overflowing. Doesn't anybody ever empty it? And I said, well, I don't know, but I'll look into it. So I walked out there and she was right. So I took photographs all around and I wrote a little memo to Mr. Williams, I think it was, at the city, or someone told me to...
Wilcox,
maybe. And I showed him. The thing of it is that this aerial shot does not show the bridge.
No, because...
Right, it's before the bridge.
Yes.
And the trash can is in the middle of the road. It's on a little island in the middle of the road. And I'm like, I don't usually drive by and drop off my trash. So I was just wondering, if you're bicycling through there or something like that, why would you stop in the middle of the road to dump your trash? And I thought, well, where it should be is out where everybody parks and turns around in that nice seating area out there where they sit down and they park their car and they get out of the car and they go, oh, well, let's throw away the wrappers from our candy bars because the car's here and we can just empty, clean everything out and throw in the trash. And I don't understand why it's where it is. And obviously it needs, that's a very popular area, nicely, that people want to go down there and spend that time. And I think maybe one where you can leave it where it is, and maybe an additional one where the turnaround is, where that nice seating area is. There's also a nice seating area because you have no trash can from the restroom all the way out to the bridge.
That's correct.
So that's more than 500 feet. But there's a nice little cutout there where there's a little bench. Now, I know nobody likes to sit next to trash, but it does make sense that if you're walking and you're having a soda and you sit down, it would be nice if you could just put it in the... I mean, this is just my opinion of what people have said to me, that it's a long time between trash cans going out to the bridge, and the only one that's out there on our side of the bridge is always full. So There you go.
I believe that that's a once-a-week pickup, and that's picked up by Morro Bay Garbage Company.
Okay. That's all.
Any other questions? David.
I'm looking over at the Embarcadero map. I see that there seems to be, according to the map, no garbage cans at Tidelands Park, which I feel is inaccurate because I think when I go there, I see garbage cans. But there are none recognized on our map here. So
we've only included the garbage cans that are part of the cans that are in the public right-of-way. We didn't include the park cans. So Anchor Memorial, Mariner Park, and Tidelands, along with Centennial, have additional trash cans associated with the park itself.
Okay, perfect. And then over at the Rock, you answered my question already about the Big Bellies, and I was wondering why they were going. I feel that alternative A is a little bit overkill with 8 cans replacing the current 4 along the edge of the parking lot on the north side, facing the north side of the Rock. But at the other hand, I think alternative 2 is too much the other direction. If people are out on the beach and they have to pick up their towels and their blankets and their chairs and their umbrellas and their garbage and walk up to the parking lot, then have to walk across the parking lot to the restroom, I feel like there needs to be sort of something midpoint for those people. And then my other question is, circling around to the south side of the Rock, where we have that small beach over there by Widow's Wall, and people tend to use that a lot more now, there seems to be, again, none recognized there. Does that fall into the park like you were talking?
That's State Park's property.
So their cans are theirs.
Yes.
Because I believe there are some there as well. Okay. That's it from me.
Any more questions? All right, let's bring it back and discussion about what we'd like to do.
Yeah, I'll go ahead.
Okay,
I guess my question would be, I count on staff to know the issues, Rob, and I think you know the issues of what's going on there, and I feel like I wouldn't make a good determination based on what I have here in the staff report. The only thing I would like to add is, since you are adding 10 more cans, or that's the idea, that maybe not do the frequency yet, change that or pay extra money for, see how it fleshes out, and then if you do need the additional pickups, do so. And definitely have a pickup before you have the Amgen tour come into town.
Yes. I think that's a requirement of our contract.
Oh, there it is.
Actually.
Other than that, you know, I'm going to go along with staff's recommendation myself, and I assume those alternatives were alternatives, but the original proposal is the one that staff probably recommended first. Is that a
so? What I hearing from Commissioner Shively is to not implement the additional pickups until we've evaluated the additional trash cans.
In the given area, if you're not adding trash cans to an area and it's a problem now, then I'd probably increase the frequency at those locations. But you're almost doubling the storage. Which will allow for less frequency. I don't know if you wind up with trash being thrown because there's no trash can there. Is that a problem in this town at all? Or are people pretty good about
I think they're pretty good about waiting till they get to the next trash can before they throw something away. We do have a little bit of a problem in some of our parks with those large items that maybe you don't have room at home to get rid of, like that extra piece of sheetrock and the broken down chair, they end up next to the dumpsters or in the dumpsters in
so,
the park.
So there are dumpsters in town that
in mainly in the parks, North Point Park.
Because you're right. People in motorhomes a lot of times, they're going to dump their trash in that location. I do agree with Deb, though, especially on the new bike path going out to the bridge. That is a long pull between getting all the way out to the bridge and going back over near the restrooms, and I think, you know, it might make sense to throw something in between there somewhere along the way that makes some kind
of sense.
Maybe at the junction where you get on the bike.
Is there something at Coleman Park? in that location?
Oh, there might be
at
ones
Coleman
in the park.
But from basically the intersection of the two bike paths all the way out to the bridge, there's nothing there. There's one at the south end and one at the north end.
But there is, I keep forgetting, there are ones in the park also. And,
okay,
I gotcha.
Okay.
Delmar Park has two dumpsters out there too, and I have seen some people throwing some stuff in it, and maybe a sign or something, or maybe some of the merchants put locks on their dumpsters so people don't put stuff in them.
Yes, you do.
And so, you know, maybe we can move around and change a little bit and notify people that, yeah, don't throw your sheetrock in here, or it's a penalty, or put one of those signs on it.
I think the people that do that kind of stuff don't read signs.
Well, maybe not.
They just do it.
Make them bilingual.
So basically you're looking from us just some suggestions.
Some suggestions
and comments on the report.
For implementing this new regime of trash collection.
Okay. Anybody else have some suggestions? Go ahead.
I agree with Stephen that increasing the trash cans, you may not need to increase the frequency of the pickup. I think you should probably wait and see. And I'm also, even though you explained it, you said some places are picked up three times. How do you know if you're increasing if they're already, if you already don't know how often they're picked up. So I think you should leave it like it is.
I'm at a loss here. Janine would probably remember which cans get what day pickup. We have a list of all the cans based on the billing, what days they get picked up.
Okay.
So we do have that information. I just don't have it in my head, nor did I grab the list from her. So.
Well, then I am also relying on staff to know where these cans should be and the pickup. But I just think that before we increase the number of days we pick up, we should see how increased cans solve the problem.
Okay.
I don't have
Okay. Anybody else? Any comments or suggestions? When do you renegotiate the contract?
It's ongoing right now. I think the garbage company would like to see it happen sooner rather than later. It's associated with the organics pickup.
Right.
So
I was gonna ask
they
about
need
that.
Guaranteed 20-year contracts to make this digester project that they're implementing for Morro Bay Garbage Company and the associated other kind of south county garbage. They're all one company, even though they have different names, to make this digester project work. So we do have some room to negotiate with the garbage company on that.
Okay.
We're looking at trash frequency pickup and then also negotiating additional alternatively fueled vehicles. So replacing the diesel vehicles that come to Morro Bay with natural gas vehicles.
Okay. And so at this point, you are moving ahead to replace the $10,000.
Adding the 10 cans in the downtown, moving them to where it makes more logical sense. We wouldn't increase the contract amount until with the budget. So we'll have some time to evaluate this.
Yes.
And we can bring this back to the advisory board and report back to see, let the community know and this board how we're doing.
I think the idea of an evaluation is really a good one to actually monitor and see how it goes and see if the problem is solved with just the new cans. So that's great.
I guess I'd like to hear what your feeling is from the board's perspective about it seemed to me what I heard was going from four big bellies to eight trash cans might be too much, but going from four big bellies to no trash cans might be a little bit excessive on the other side. I was just wondering if there's consensus on that, whether we should still keep a few trash cans down at the edge of the parking lot at the Rock.
Any thoughts on that?
I think kind of just for the benefit David mentioned, having them down near the edge just because people are actually going to use them that way. Otherwise, I don't think they're going to trek across the parking lot there. So I think it's maybe do six and move two of the others down to the path to the bridge. something in that respect.
Okay.
I would agree with that. All right. And you don't need a recommendation then?
No.
All right.
Great. I would agree with that too. And the good news is that if we need more, we can always get more. So
yes,
let's start with less and work our way as needed.
Yes. The issue also with trash cans, the ones we have to put down there need to be bird proof. So that was one of the issues that drove us to the Big Bellies. Also was birds can't get into the trash can to pull garbage out of them. So they need some sort of lid on there that will stay in place.
I got a quick question as an aside on this. Do they charge you more if it's a... I know dumpsters cost more than, say, dumping a trash can, but when you get into the can size, I know for the residential they charge between the little ones and the as you go up the list. Do they do that to the city also based on the kind of
cans? So all of our trash cans in the aggregate containers are all the same size?
Except for those Big Bellies,
yes.
Assume that's a different animal.
But... the advantage of the Big Bellies is they have a compactor function. Unfortunately, it can compact it to more weight than the worker is allowed to pick up.
Oh.
So we're not able to use the compactor function and have Morro Bay Garbage Company pick up those containers. Oh.
So they're not picking them up with their grabbers?
There's no... It has to be manually emptied.
Oh, I got you. Okay. Thank you.
Well, and since Stephen has asked for an additional item, does anybody have a future agenda item that they wanted to mention at this point?
There has been some conversation. I'm a birder around town, and about closing that gate at the Rock. I can understand it when the water is blowing up off the seawall out there straight up, but it's closed sometimes when it's not. And, they, of course, people stack up right there where those garbage cans are and so on. And I talked to the ranger at the park about why they do that, and he said, well, us in the Harbor Patrol. And I said, is there a formula for you doing that, or is it arbitrary? Basically, it's arbitrary. If the water looks like it's going to blow up today and it's going to be 10 feet above and so on, they'll close it. And I said, well, why? And he said, because we can't turn the fire engine around at the end and we expect something's going to happen. Well, I see people out there, even if the gate's closed, out there walking around taking pictures of the water blowing over the top of them. I've seen a lady and a young child get knocked down from the waves and so on. So where I'm going with that, it would be good to take a look at that parking lot on the far end and maybe get together with the state or get together with whoever it is and widen it out on the end so we can turn an emergency vehicle around out there. And that would help the issue. And of course, identifying it a little better out there about where to park and where not to park. They've got signs out there that says emergency vehicles only, but people will pull out to the end and get out of their car. They don't speak English. They're, you know, whatever. And so that would be something I'd like to look at and see if we can. He said, well, if you make a comment to us and we'll negotiate, we'll think about it. He didn't say negotiate. He said, we'll think about making some changes out there. So that's something I'd like to look at.
I'm not sure if that's in the purview of the Public Works Advisory Board.
I don't think it is. I'm afraid not. Thank
maybe
you.
Harbor.
It's pavement.
Yeah,
it's pavement.
Maybe Harbor Advisory Board.
I think it's actually a state park issue, but I'm pretty sure that it's not something that we can address here probably. But thank you, Stuart. I think we are ready to adjourn the meeting.
So before you adjourn, let me give you a preview of things that are coming forward. We'll have a major water item that we need to make a big ordinance change, but an ordinance change to the way that we calculate water equivalency units. Try to refrain from abbreviations and acronyms. Water equivalency units. Council has directed that ordinance change. And so we'll be bringing that, and included with that is water conservation and basically allocation to development. So it'll be coming to Public Works Advisory Board, then to Planning Commission, and then on to City Council this springtime. We'll have, once Council adopts the objectives, we'll be bringing those public works objectives to look at work plan items, so that that'll lay out kind of the agenda for this next year of things that, to look at. I think that'll be a more inclusive, cohesive way to bring items forward, is looking at the objectives that council has that relate to public works and getting those on our schedule. So we'll be bringing those to the Public Works Advisory Board as a couple of major work items that we'll have in the future.
That's great. Thank you. So we are adjourned until our next meeting, which is March 16th at 5:30 here. So thank you again, everyone.